Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the NBA Podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and though the country is going to hell faster than the New York Knicks under Phil Jackson, we still have a great episode for you today. We are going to, as promised, unveil our League Pass rankings for the 2017-18 season. Before we get underway, wanted to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find all three of our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some reviews. We would love any feedback. And we're being hosted this year on FanRag Sports, so check them out on Twitter at FanRag Sports and for their NBA content at FanRag NBA. Joining me today, as always, are my two co-hosts, Morten Jensen and Sarah Chalea. How's it going, you two?
It's going well, Brian. Just had the biggest dinner ever, which in my state probably shouldn't have done that, but oh god, yeah.
So always a good way to put you in a good mood.
Yeah, that's the way you classify me, right? The fat guy's happy when he's full.
When
you know
he's
what?
Well fed.
When he's well fed, and you know what? I'm just gonna accept it at this point. I'm just gonna own it. Yeah, the fat guy is happy when he's eaten. That's right. I'm owning up to it.
It's not even a weight thing. Like, my wife, who is, you know, I'm not going to call her fat because I don't want to be murdered in the middle of the night. She's plenty skinny, but my God, if she's hungry and she hasn't eaten, Lord have mercy on those who cross paths with her. So, it is not a weight thing. It is just everyone is grumpy until they eat, and that's just the constant cycle of life, I think.
It's also the three of us, when we talk outside the podcast, like at least 40% of our conversation is about food, or at least pictures of something we've eaten or found on the web. Like, oh, this
is
fantastic.
Yeah, speaking of which, I'll have some barbecue nachos for you guys this weekend. Expect some DMs. Sarah, how are you doing?
Well, now I'm hungry, so we definitely should pivot to a food podcast at some point.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We probably are more qualified to talk about that, honestly.
I mean, hell, I have 275 pounds that agrees with you, so yeah. Andre Drummond ain't got jack on me, just saying.
Maybe that'll be next week. We'll switch it to food for 1 week. all right, before we get underway, we wanted to just acknowledge what's been happening over the past week or so in Charlottesville and elsewhere. Our thoughts go out to the young woman who lost her life on Saturday. It's a tragedy, and we're not turning this into a political thing. Aside from, if you can't agree that Nazis are bad, that shouldn't be a political position. That should just be Nazis are bad, white supremacists are bad. No side should enjoy that. You know, it feels weird in a way to talk about basketball on a week like this because of what's been going on. But at the same time, you know, everyone needs a distraction from it. If you focus on this 24/7, you're just going to get so worked up that it's a downward cycle. So we have this in the back of all of our minds, just as every other person in America and hell, the world probably does this week. But that said, we're going to move past, at least for the next hour, and try to bring some joy into an otherwise very dark week. Sarah, do you have anything else you want to add there?
Well, my country, back in World War II, was invaded by Nazis, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, speaking from that position, having people who somehow sympathizes with that kind of people, who are just hateful into their very core, is beyond me, especially in the year 2017. I could not sleep after what happened in Charlottesville. I was up till 4 in the morning my time, just thinking about how unrealistic this all feels and how hopeless it feels, given who's in power and given how people are just starting to lose their sympathetic emotions towards one another, at least, you know, the people who are Nazis or, you know, extremists or whatever you want to call it. Like, it seems that everything is about, oh, I'm losing my rights. I'm missing something. Like, what the hell are you talking about? I don't even understand it. I don't understand how you can be so self-centered in this point in time, especially when, given the today's media landscape, so many facts have been opened up about how other people are hurting or have been hurting for a long time. Mm-hmm. And your response is, well, what about me, even though right. you have had all the privilege in the world? Yeah. That just does not make any sort of sense to me at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. As a white straight male, I can tell you, I have not been persecuted at all. And I, yeah. I feel guilty in a way because I like bring some on to me. I would happily take some of that load from other people.
Oh, like, big time.
Damn.
Yep.
Sarah, do you have anything you want to add before we get underway here?
Oh, I think you guys pretty much nailed it. I would say easier said than done, but, you know, don't let it get you down, or try not to, because, yeah, I mean, the world can be a pretty dark place sometimes, but I have to believe that it's never quite as dark as it seems. There's still a lot of kindness out there, so I try to focus on that.
Yes. Well said. Very well said.
Indeed.
All right, so we, as promised last week, we are going to go through our league pass rankings of all 30 teams. The NBA released its schedule on Monday, so now we have a sense of how many national TV games each team has. So what we did is we each came up with a set 1 through 30. We took all three of those, averaged them out, and then came up with an official consensus podcast ranking. So we're going to go through all of them. We're not going to talk about every team at length because we'll be doing that over the coming weeks anyway, but we will talk in detail about the teams where we differed a little more than some of the other ones. So we're going to start briefly with the Chicago Bulls, who all three of us had at number 30. Condolences to Bulls fans out there, but the NBA also thinks you're going to be bad this year because you have one national TV game, not counting NBA TV. Mort, the only reason I'm really excited for the Bulls, at least until Zach LaVine comes back, is because I'm pumped for the Dwayne Wade hostage situation that we've mentioned before, where I think he's just going to intentionally try to win games that are close late because he wants to get a buyout. But now there's this report from Nick Friedell of ESPN that they might reach a buyout over the coming months. So,
yeah.
What do you make of that? And if they do, is there any reason to watch the Bulls before Zach LaVine comes back?
Well, here's my feeling on the matter. I would actually argue that hanging on to Wade for this season would be a good move for the Bulls because they're trying to be bad. He's going to turn 36 in January. He was bad alongside Jimmy Butler, who took up the vast majority of defensive attention from opponents. Now imagine Wade older, still inefficient as a scorer, still absolutely horrific as a defender, just as he was last year. He just didn't give a damn all year long. And now expect him to carry a larger role. So that would result in what? A true shooting percentage in the mid to late 40s? Bad yeah. defense? Like, is there a better way to tank?
Unless you hire Sam Hinkie, probably not.
Right. I mean, I'm almost sitting there thinking, you know what? Just if you're the Bulls, just hang on to him. And if by some means, if some way he, you know, he squeezes out a few wins, then you can buy him out. Yeah. And if you can gauge it there. But let you know, fail through him. Like, just right. accept it. Just give him the ball. Say, shoot 20, 22 times a game. It doesn't matter. Just go on with it. And a lot of people would go, but Mort, you know, that's not going to help the youngsters. Who cares? Their youngsters suck. Their youngsters are so bad. Like, there is really none of those guys right now. I don't know about Lauri Markkanen because he hasn't played yet. But so far, outside of him, who's there right now who are just a sure lock fire, you know, to be there for the next couple seasons? I mean, no one has shown anything so far. It doesn't even matter. Just tank away, Bulls. Just use Dwayne Wade. Make him take 30 shots for all I care. It's fine. Just sit in that house that burns.
You just summed up why all three of us have the Bulls at 30. So good job there. Next on our list, Atlanta Hawks, all three of us had 29th. I mean, with no Paul Millsap, no Dwight Howard, no Tim Hardaway, it's going to be a lot of Dennis Schroeder, which is going to be an eyesore. So I think the Hawks are another team. So I'm going by this list on SB Nation, which does not count NBA TV games. So if I say a number that's wrong, it's because I'm not counting NBA TV games. But national, ESPN, TNT, ABC, Atlanta is one of the three teams in the NBA that doesn't have a single national TV game this year. So the NBA agrees with us. The Hawks are going to be bad and unexciting, and no one wants to watch them. So Orlando Magic, I had 27th, and the two of you had 26th, so they're the 28th ranked team overall. And then Memphis Grizzlies, we had a little bit of a disagreement. Yeah. Mort, you and I had them 28th. Sarah had them 22nd. Sarah, is this just Stockholm Syndrome from all the Spurs Grizzlies battles you've had over the years?
I think there's definitely an element of that, yeah. It was flashbacks to Mike Conley just being incredible in the playoffs last year. So a lot of it is just respect for Mike Conley. And then Marc Gasol is still great. I like some of their young guys. Ennis, Wade Baldwin, I think have some potential to do good things for them. Wayne Selden. I'm excited, actually, for the return of Rio. So there's that. So it's not that I'm chopping at the bit to watch them. They're still pretty low for me, but yeah, that's why they ended up where they did.
Okay, I respect. I forgot. Yeah, Mario Chalmers, that is going to be fun. without Z-Bo and Tony Allen, like, they're not the grit and grind Grizzlies anymore. It's just going to be the very bad Grizzlies. I'm worried. I'm writing something, a B-ball breakdown, about which teams that made the playoffs last year are going to miss this year, and I just don't see any way the Grizzlies make the playoffs this year.
And Chandler Parsons is going to get a big role, and we're not sure if he's going to be all healthy, but given the money that they invested in him, they're going to try to like just force production out of him. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly.
Oh, God. You just made me realize now that in that Bleacher Report redraft that I talked about last week, it's been rolling out all this week, and I have two Grizzlies on my team because I took Parsons in the 6th and Mario in the 10th. So, great. My team is also going to be super unexciting. Great. All right. Moving on. We have the Indiana Pacers were 26th overall. I was highest on them at 24th. Mort had them 25th. Sarah 28th. My whole thing with them is just Miles Turner. I'm excited for that. Aside from that, I don't care about this team at all.
Oh, that's fair.
I feel like a lot of the teams I have down in that range are in a similar boat. Like Memphis, Sarah, you're right. Like Conley's great. Marc Gasol's great. I'm morbidly intrigued to see about Chandler Parsons, but I just don't know what to expect from him. So like Miles Turner, I expect a huge breakout from him. I'm intrigued by Victor Oladipo, I guess. I want to see... they just, he's starting year one of a 4-year $84 million contract. He's about to walk into the biggest role he's played on any team. Like, if it doesn't happen now, Indiana's going to be very bad for the next 4 years. Like, maybe there's hope of a Sabonis breakout, but I'm not super optimistic there. Knicks, we all had pretty low as well. 25th overall. Sarah, you and I had them 25th. Mort, you had them 24th. Is it just Kristaps and then nothing else?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Or actually, I think I adapted to your thinking a little bit, Brian. You know, just wanting to watch the world burn a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because if there's a team out there that just deserves to burn like there's no tomorrow, it's the Knicks. Yeah. So, there's some interesting elements right there, because then you throw the unicorn in there, and then you kind of see what's going to happen. Because we're all sure that everything around Kristaps is just going to go straight to hell, but we want to see this phoenix rising from the ashes. Yeah. Like, we want to see Kristaps become, larger than life. And if he somehow, some way, leads that horrible, horrible team, I was going to use a much harsher word there, to like close to 40 wins. I don't think that's ever going to happen, but if he can, then he's entering that superstardom, phase.
Yeah, that's true. I guess like Carmelo Anthony is still on that team as of now. We don't know if he's going to be there.
I know, it's weird. It feels like he isn't, but he is.
Right. Yeah. So I guess, like, depending on, honestly, if they keep Carmelo, I'd put them even lower because I want to see Kristaps in the, like, what I expect from Miles Turner. Like, I want to see him as the face of the franchise. So if Carmelo's there to soak up 20 shots a game, like, he's already going to have to deal with Tim Hardaway soaking up 20 shots a game now. Like, let Kristaps be Kristaps. The Thunder finally let Westbrook be Westbrook. So now I need the Knicks to let Kristaps be Kristaps. Okay. So the next team on our list is the Cleveland Cavaliers, surprisingly. All three of us had them below 20. Sarah, you were highest on them at 21. Mort, you at 23. I had them at 26. Mort, do you want to... What's intriguing you about the Cavs this year?
Close to nothing. Okay, look, I've always been down on the Cavaliers as a league pass team. Yeah. And people always, send me messages and whatnot asking me why I'm down on the Cavs. Like, I'm not down on the Cavs. I'm down on the Cavs as a league pass team. There's a major difference. And maybe we should have set this at the top of the show.
Yeah.
This isn't about what team we think is going to be good or bad. This is all about the entertainment value of it all. And here's my thing, and people are always, attacking me when I say this, but I stand by it. I don't find LeBron James exciting to watch.
Bulls I just fan. Don't.
No, that's no. Honestly, that's been before 2010 and all that. It's the same thing. Like, bullies his way to the rim. His way to the rim. It's I mean, it's impressive as hell. I'm not gonna take that away from him at all. And in the finals, I'm soaking up every second because high stakes and he's delivering. But in the regular season, oh good lord, I couldn't be bothered. So
neither can he.
I mean, exactly. So I guess Derrick Rose, to answer your question.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there is some level of intrigue there just to see how far he's going to fall or if he's, able to stay afloat. I don't know. But I don't find the Cavaliers exciting at all. I never have.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff Green, this might be his year.
12th year in a row. Yeah.
Right. Sarah, why did you have him at 21?
There again, like, it's more, I told you guys it was hard to do the middle, so for me it was more tiers, top tier, bottom tier, and middle tier, and they just fell wherever they fell. They have LeBron, obviously, which I don't know, I was kind of appalled by what Morton just said, but then when I think about it, I don't know, like, the 2016 finals, the last three games, probably the most I've ever enjoyed watching him.
Yeah.
And other than that, my interest kind of wanes, I guess. So, and there's not much else to really be interested in there. They're still going to do well in the East because it's the East. That's not interesting either. I mean, what else can you say, really? It's just not that exciting.
They have the Kyrie situation hanging over their heads.
It's this dysfunction junction. There's a little bit of that going on. Right. So
right.
That could be interesting, but
Also there's just a limit to how fun it is watching Kevin Love take wide open three pointers for 48 minutes. This is okay. So
I think the most fun thing about that team is just gonna be watching LeBron's body language all year. Like, how checked out does he get by like December and then like February and like is he taking his jersey off after every game just to be like, Cleveland, I'm out. Like, I'm leaving. Just get it through your heads.
And we're absolutely going to get, like, videos of it on Twitter that's going to be overanalyzed. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. This year's going to be horrible in that regard. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
Around the clock on SportsCenter.
First Take is just going to be LeBron Central come October 15th or whatever it starts. Yeah, I mean, I was lowest on them. Part of this is I factored how many national TV games each team had. So the Cavs are third most at 27. So if you're doing the league pass package of like five teams, you just don't need to buy the Cavs because they're going to be on TV all the time anyway. But yeah, aside from that, you guys nailed it. I mean, this team is just going to be in cruise control to the playoffs. So I'm excited to see them in the playoffs. I don't super care about them in the regular season. My overall thinking, which we should get into now to defend my Spurs pick later, is I'm more intrigued in teams that we don't know a lot about. So, like, teams that rolled back their same core are less interesting to me than teams that added a big new piece, because I want to see how that big new piece meshes, or, like, teams that have an intriguing young player, like a Miles Turner or a Kristaps, but, you know, teams with multiple intriguing young players are higher on my list for that reason. So Cleveland.
I'm going to remember you said that when we reached the Utah Jazz.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
all right, so let's actually go to the next one on our list. 23rd overall, Detroit Pistons. Mort, you had them highest at 19th. I was 20th. Sarah, you had them at 27th. Hater. Why don't you like the Pistons, Sarah?
I'm just not excited about that at all. I mean, we talked about it a little bit. Was it last podcast or
last
two?
Last pod.
Two back? Yeah. It just, I don't know what they're doing. they actually did interest me two seasons ago, but that has swiftly gone directly downhill since then. it's just, they have not gone anywhere. Like Mort said, they somewhat stagnated and even actually gone backwards, so I'm just not excited. Like you said, you're interested in the teams, Brian, who you don't know as much about. I feel like I know how that's going to go. I mean, Avery Bradley, that's an exciting punch of new blood and talent, but there's nothing else that I would really be interested in.
That's reasonable. Mort, why you were highest on them at 19. Why do you have them there?
I think that goes into Sarah's line of thinking previously in tiers, when you thought about it in tiers, that they sort of landed there. I have like a whole group that's sort of in that same ballpark.
Yeah.
And then I just started thinking about them and how little I actually wanted to turn on a game with them. And I figured, yeah, that's an appropriate place. By the way, now that we're talking about the Pistons, is Andre Drummond the new Jeff Green?
Oh, No.
But I'm not talking about like production. I'm talking about like us always waiting. Like we waited for 5 or 6 years for Jeff Green to, you know, turn it up, bust out, whatever you want to call it. When he got traded to the Celtics, now's the time. Then he had the unfortunate heart condition, obviously that, you know, affected things. But then when he came back, he said he was all healthy, and he was. And then people started getting their hopes up again, and he was still average. And Next year, averaged again. Is that what we're seeing with Andre Drummond? Is he just as good as he's going to be?
Well, see, that's part of why I'm intrigued to watch them this year. Like, I want to see what happens with him, Reggie Jackson, Stanley Johnson. Like, Stanley Johnson fell so far in Stan Van Gundy's doghouse, they just didn't play last year. But as for Drummond, I mean, there was... It seemed like he was making somewhat consistent improvement until last season. So I don't know if Reggie Jackson's injury played into that. Like, maybe if Reggie Jackson is healthy and he has a good pick-and-roll partner, now all of a sudden he's going to be good again. I mean, his free-throw percentage is probably just always going to be awful. But, like, you know, guys, Shaq and Dwight Howard and guys in the past have survived off of that. I think I did read... a thing from Stan Van Gundy recently. He was talking with Keith Langwa of the team website, where he said, like, look, we might have gotten too ambitious with Drummond. Like, I want him to focus on the things he can do the best, which is rebound, and ideally I want him to become more of a shot blocker. He basically said, like, I want him to be our version of DeAndre Jordan. So I think Van Gundy, when he came in, was a little ambitious and really wanted Drummond to expand his game and work on his post-ups, which were one of the most inefficient plays in all of basketball last year. So now if they dial it back and let him focus on his strengths and don't force him to post up 10 times a game, all of a sudden I'm thinking Drummond, you know, there's hope for a bounce back year there. So that intrigues me. Reggie Jackson, you know, he was pretty bad last year, but he was also injured for a lot of the year, dealing with a knee issue. I want to see what happens with him. Sarah, as you mentioned, Avery Bradley, that's good. You know, he's heading into a contract year, how he fits there. And then, yeah, Stanley Johnson, like, I have hope for him still. I'm just, you know, he just didn't. He's been a disappointment so far, but, like, the talent is still there. It's just, like, it's kind of like with Drummond. Will he accept that he's not this superstar scorer? Like, will he just fill a role as this, like, versatile defender who picks up complimentary buckets? Or does he try to miscast himself as the number one option, which leads to, like, going right back into Van Gundy's doghouse?
It's a good question. It's a good question. But, yeah, I mean, even so, like, you actually tried to make that intriguing, and I still won't budge from number 19.
That's fair. You were highest on them at 19. Like, all three of us are not super excited to watch them, but...
Oh, but you had them like 20th, so we're right in the same ballpark. So, you know, Sarah is the one seeing the truth here, I think.
Right. Yeah. She does.
Because I feel like I have him a little bit too high right now after talking about him. I'm like, oh, Reggie Jackson? Really? 19?
Yeah, that's reasonable. The next three on our list were not all that controversial. All of us had them within a couple ranks of each other. So Miami Heat were 22nd. Charlotte Hornets were 21st, and Toronto Raptors are 20th. I feel like it's the same thing. Like, all three of those teams basically rolled it back. I mean, Charlotte got Dwight Howard, which is exciting. Malik Monk will be fun there. Miami got Kelly Olynyk. Toronto lost a couple guys but got CJ Miles. The next one that was really had a big gap, though, were this Phoenix Suns at 19. So, Mort, you and I had them at 14 each. And then Sarah had them at 24. Sarah, I sense a theme with your rankings here, where you don't care about the crappy teams that much. Like, you'd rather just watch good basketball teams. Is that spot on?
Indeed. But it's also, you know, maybe if the crappy teams have a few players that I'm excited about or interested in or anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not a lot of that similar to Detroit. With Phoenix. Plus, I mean, I will admit, you guys have more feelers out for the younger players, so I don't know much about their draft picks. Josh Jackson, I've heard good things about, so he could be fun to watch. Devin Booker, we know what he can do. But there's just, like, nothing that really piques my interest. Hopefully Dragon Bender gets some burn and shows some development, but yeah, they're definitely in the lower tier for me.
Yeah. That's
so
fair.
Basically, you're Charles Barkley.
Well, I don't know if that's fair.
That is not fair. Mort, what has you excited about the Suns?
Oh, it's a combination of things. Marcus Chris, I think, came on pretty strong at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah just mentioned Dragon Bender, who I'm looking forward to seeing in an expanded role, hopefully.
Right.
We'll see. Josh Jackson is intriguing. I'm not as high on Josh as our former guest James Holas, but those expectations he put on Josh there. Oh my God, poor Josh! But nevertheless, I'm intrigued to see what he can bring, because he seems to be that kind of all around guy, sort of like Andre Iguodala, who can handle the ball, pass, rebound, run the floor, all these things, but not really be a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of nervous, but how his transition is going to go shooting wise, but that adds to the intrigue, right? Like, actually turning on the games and seeing, okay, what can this guy do? If he struggles with his jumper, then how does he compensate? Does he get to the line? Does he play harder on defense? Like, what's going to happen? And then, of course, Devin Booker, I want to see him just go off in the third year. I feel as though there was a lot of hate on NBA Twitter towards Devin Booker. Like, oh, he's just a scorer. He's only this and that. Dude threw down, this is one game, threw down 70 at the age of what, 21? 20, actually, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he averaged, I think, 22 points per game throughout the course of the season where he was 20, 21. I mean, however you want to slice it, that's ridiculous throwing hate on a guy that young who was that good of an offensive player. Sure, defensively, he's abysmal right now, but there's nothing that indicates that wouldn't come. Like, his body is there, his mentality is there. He actually has a pretty quick reaction pattern when he plays on the ball, or when he guards the player on the ball, I should say. It's just a question of getting a little bit more disciplined, and I mean, at that age, I sure as hell wasn't disciplined at the age of 2021. No. So, yeah.
You nailed all the reasons I'm excited. Plus, their bench is actually, it was surprisingly frisky at the end of last year. Like, they have Alan Williams, who they re-signed this summer.
Yeah.
Tyler Ulis played well off the bench. So, I mean, part of the reason I had them 14, like, I just like watching their young guys. I want to find out more about them, especially Bender, who they may or may not be dangling in Kyrie trade talks. There's also, I mean, hell, there's the chance that Kyrie Irving is playing for that team by the time the season starts. So I baked that into my price a little bit. So, unlike Sarah, I'd rather watch. I don't care if it's bad basketball. I just want to see how these young guys turn out. Because this, you know, some of those guys could be the next stars of the league for all we know. But I'm with you, Mort, in saying it's way too early. I mean, I think the hate on Booker on Twitter is not, like, people acknowledge he's a great scorer. They're just saying, like, whoa, let's pump the brakes on calling him a superstar already. Which I think is fair. Because, yeah, he needs to round out his game more. But as you said, I have every confidence in the world that he's going to. Like, they put him more on the ball toward the end of last season once they decided to completely go in the tank and shut Eric Bledsoe down. And he played well in that role. So I'm excited to see him continue developing his all-around game. And I think we will quickly go from saying, you know, he's not this superstar caliber player to, like, yeah, Phoenix should not be including him in trade talks. Like, he's that good.
And he is not, I thought he was 21. He's still just 20. He's not going to turn 21 until 2 weeks into the season.
Damn.
Just put that in perspective a little bit.
Yeah. Wow.
And he has a higher career high than Michael Jordan. Just saying.
Right. Exactly. Okay, so the next couple teams on our list were all pretty divisive. There was a two-way tie for 17th between the Los Angeles Clippers and Portland Trail Blazers. We'll start with the Clippers because, Sarah, you and I both had them at 11. Morton had them at 27. Mort, what's going on? Why didn't you want the Clippers this year?
Oh, man. Blake Griffin, to me, is boring. Boring. DeAndre Jordan, boring. An overrated defender. Really is just a highlight reel player who has a lot of blocks and whatnot, but misses so many rotations, no one really talks about it. And then, should I really get all ready for Danilo Gallinari? I'm like, no, I probably shouldn't, you know? I'll say this, Juwan Evans is one I'm looking forward to seeing, but that does not justify a higher position than 27th for me.
Sure.
And then, again, Doc Rivers on the sideline. It's the Clippers to me. Even if they had rolled back the same roster with Chris Paul and JJ Redick, it would have been the same ranking for me because it's just meh. That team is just it doesn't hit my fun spots at all.
Oh, please don't ever say fun spots again.
I regretted it as soon as it came out of my mouth. Don't worry about it.
Good. All right. I will agree with you that if they roll back Chris Paul, I would have them much lower on the list than I do now. But Sarah, why do you have them so high at 11?
I mean, I can't even really disagree with some of the first few points there that Morton made, but I'm just intrigued to see how the team comes together. I mean, they have some interesting pieces to me, that half the Rockets from last year, and Teodosic is always fun. I, too, am interested in Evans, so I'm just kind of hoping, you know, they have a chance to mix it up here a little bit. You know, they changed up the roster. They don't have to play the way that they played. Well, they really can't play the exact same way that they played for years now. I think, you know, yeah, it would be nice if they had a little more shooting. I think the loss of Redick is going to smart a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited. I think that they should really push the ball a lot. They have, you know, everyone's talked about the prospect of point Blake. I'd like to see some of that, because he can be kind of boring in a half court. But I think he can be an absolute terror in the open floor. So I want to see that. And then you could have Milos, you know, pushing the ball as well. And I've always been a Gallinari fan, as probably my Italian ancestry. there's a little bias there. I always watch them in Eurobasket and root for them, and I'm just sad every year that they come so close to doing something and never quite get there. And then this year Gallo had to break his hand before the competition even started, so that's great. But I am interested to see how this team looks once they get it going.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Point Blake is the thing I'm most excited to see, because I do think, you know, Doc Rivers gave a press conference in mid-July, and they asked him, like, what's the biggest change you're going to see with this team now that Chris is gone? And he said more ball movement. You know, it's going to force them. They don't have this ball-dominant superstar point guard anymore. Pat Beverly is used to playing off the ball next to Harden in Houston. Like, I really do think we're going to see more Point Blake, as Jonathan Jarks of The Ringer advocated for in June. So I think that's going to be... It could be really fun. I think they'll be a little bit less whiny as a team now that Chris Paul is gone, so that's a little exciting.
Hopefully.
Yeah, knock on wood. but yeah, I'm just excited to see how they come together, because DeAndre Jordan can opt out after this season, so they have a lot at stake. Like, this could be a make-or-break season for what's left of the Clippers. The other team that we tied with them, Portland Trailblazers. Sarah, you had them at 12th. Morton, you had them at 18th. I had them 19th. Sarah, is it the Nurkic? Is that what's getting you excited for this team?
You got it. Yeah. I definitely have them a little high. And there was nothing really last year that interested me until Nurk came on. So yeah. I just kind of want to see if they're able to replicate what they did at the end of the year or an entire season now.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. They are also appearing on my list of teams that are probably going to miss the playoffs this year. But, I mean, they were so bad last year. Like, they were 10 games under 500 before Nurk got there. And then all of a sudden, like, they hit a soft slate at the end of the year. Nurkic beasts for 20, 25 games. And, like, oh, they're in the playoffs. But I'm still bitter. I think I might have had them a few spots too low. But I pegged them to miss the playoffs last year. And I was feeling so good until mid-February. And then all of a sudden they get Nurkic and they like turn into a real basketball team. And they made me look like an idiot. But just remember, everyone, for 4 months I was spot on calling the Blazers being mediocre.
It's just like your MVP pick,
too. Yeah, exactly. <right. laughs> I got kneecapped at the end, but I had it right for most of the season. Any big thoughts on the Blazers?
I would have had them significantly higher had they gone out and actually gotten a legitimate small forward or power forward that would complement the team. They are still those two positions a little bit short, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have three fantastic starters, and that's a great way to start it up, but now you need the complementary pieces, and they didn't get it done. I would probably have given Alan Crabb another year there. But then again, like Brooklyn took the whole salary off of their hands, so right. I'm not faulting them for doing the deal, but I would have given Crabb another year starting at the three full time, and then I don't know what I would have done at the four. I don't think there really is an answer lying in the roster. Al-Farouq Aminu, not sure. It just doesn't really it doesn't really compute for me. I'm looking at it, I'm just going, there are quite a few holes and I'm not rewarding that.
Right, yeah. I'm also excited for Nurkic. I mean, Dame and CJ are both excellent, but aside from that, there's very little else on that roster. Biggie Swanigan, I guess, is probably the most exciting thing outside of those guys.
Like, right.
I don't care about Evan Turner at all. I had to endure a number of years with Evan Turner. I'm happy to never watch him play basketball again.
He's a good Twitterer, though.
Yeah, he is good on Twitter, that's true. All right, Brooklyn Nets were 16th on our overall list. Mort, you and I had them 13th. Sarah had them 20th. Sarah, are you not all aboard the D'Angelo Russell train?
You know what's funny? Like, going through this, there was so much movement this summer that a lot of times I'm looking at rosters and I'm like, oh yeah, like, that guy's on the team. So when I noticed that, I was a little bit more excited when I remembered that he got traded there. And I like Jeremy Lin. Hopefully he'll be healthy.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, there's just not a lot that I really care about.
That's reasonable. I mean, yeah, aside from those two guys, I mean, Crabb is there now. and Trevor Booker's frisky, but yeah, they got rid of Brook Lopez, who was by far their best player last year. So there is a chance they go off the rails, especially if Lynn can't stay healthy, and this season could take a dark turn very quickly for them. But why are you excited for the Nets?
Because of the pick that they owe Boston.
Oh, I like
that. Yeah, there's a subplot here.
Yeah.
Also because I genuinely like the way that they play. I mean, it's very perimeter-oriented, but it's very new age. Sean Marks has done a great job in the front office. Kenny Atkinson on the bench, I like that. So there's lots of like on the court. But the conventional wisdom has been, you know, Brooklyn is going to be bad for so long. Boston's going to get that pick, yada, 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 yada. And I love the fact that Brooklyn's fighting back.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty intriguing to see them just go, nope, we're not going to accept this. We're not going to be this laughingstock. We are going to go balls to the wall to actually get them the lowest pick humanly possible. And I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah. I like that is a fun reason to be enjoying them, because yeah, I hope Boston also gets screwed. And Boston also owns from the Markelle Fultz trade, if the Lakers pick falls between 2 and 5, they get that one as well.
Yep.
So they very well could have 2 top 5 picks if everything breaks right for them. Next on our list, 15th overall, the New Orleans Pelicans, and I brought them up in our overall rankings because I was highest on them at 9th. Mort, you have 16th. Sarah, you had him at 19th. Are you guys not excited for a full season of Brown and Boogie? Or is Rajon Rondo poisoning your view of the team that much?
Look, okay, so Boogie, Brown, Drew Holiday, what else? Brian, I'm totally excited to watch Solomon Hill just clank jumpers for a full season. That's going to be tremendous. Omer Asik. Oh my god, my blood is boiling, Brian.
Sarah.
Yeah, I feel a little ashamed because I'm supposed to be the front court lover and supporter here. But I'm not that excited even about those two. That can change if they're a little more creative with how they play them this season, which I hope they are. But it was a lot of, from what I did see last year at the end, it was a lot of like your turn, my turn.
Yeah.
And I don't get excited about that kind of basketball. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's kind of how the Spurs play now, which is why they've gone down in excitement level and entertainment level. And even they have more movement, I think, in their offense than what the Pelicans do. So, if we see a little bit more creativity, big to big pick and rolls and things, then that'll be fun. But as it is, I from what we have to go on from last year, I'm not looking forward to it.
See, I'm expecting that kind of development because now they have, it's hard to, I've said this before, like it's hard to recalibrate your offense to that degree when you pick up a superstar at the trade deadline. Well, you know, like
for
you get a Kyle Korver and it's like, all right, just stand in the corner and shoot the three when I give you, when you're wide open and I give you this pass. But, like, for a guy, like a high usage guy like Boogie, you really have to retool your whole offense, and you just don't have the practice time to do that late in the season. Now he's had a full offseason to work with Anthony Davis, so a full training camp, a full preseason. I'm hopeful that, you know, Alvin Gentry finds a way to get those two guys to work more in synergy. Boogie keeps saying, like, he really liked playing with Rondo during his 1 year in Sacramento, so, like, you know, they've got four. They're going to start Rondo at the one, Drew at the two. Who knows at the three? Probably Solomon Hill. And then Boogie and Brown in the front court. So they have four capable passers in their starting lineup. And if, you know, it's, again, the stakes are really high for them, much like the Clippers, because Boogie's going to be a free agent after this year. So, like, if things go south quickly, like, Boogie might be on the trade block heading into the deadline. So I'm excited to see if Boogie Brown figured out, like, if they figure it out, they might be the counter to small ball. Like, I don't know what a team, can you really run that team off the floor? Because both of those guys, I mean, you probably, defensively, you're going to have Boogie at the 5, Brown at the 4, but, like, I don't know. that really might be the thing that gives the Warriors trouble. Like, they really might be able to outsize them. All right, let's move on to the next two, not super controversial on our list. Mavericks, we had at 14th overall. Sarah, you had 13th. Morton, I had him 15th. Please just re-sign Nerlens Noel, or you're dropping 10 spots on my list, Mavericks.
Yeah.
Warriors, we had 13th overall. Mort, you were highest at 11th. Sarah was 14th. I was 17th. We just know what's going to happen with this team, right? Like, they're going to win 70 games. They're going to play great basketball.
Not that much suspense.
Right.
Yeah.
I
feel bad about it because they play great, like you said. That's, but it's hard. That takes your entertainment down when you win all the time.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm going to watch them annihilate teams in the playoffs. That's fine. They also have 31 national TV games, the most of any team. So, again, if you're filling out your 5-team league pass, you don't need the Warriors because they're going to be on national TV all the time. Boston Celtics at 12th overall. Sarah, you had them at 9th. I am at 10th. Mort, you had them at 22nd. What's up with that?
Well, okay, the addition of Gordon Hayward is definitely intriguing. Mm-hmm. But I don't... Yeah, from an entertaining perspective, I'm not buying it. I'm just, it's the same mentality, it's the same team, it's the same sets. Gordon is going to be great there, but I don't know, I'm just not that hyped for him.
Mm.
You still have a 5'9 point guard who can't defend. I mean, yeah, I'm not sure what I'm expecting, honestly. Maybe that might be the thing. That might actually be why I had them so low, because I can't really imagine their whole offense. They still need that rebounder. I'm looking at team and I'm thinking, you know, it could have been better. Could have been better. I might be faulting them a little bit for that. And then I guess Danny Ainge's overall behavior in just making everyone around him untradeable is just bucking the hell out of me. So that might be included. Well, what I'm really looking forward to with them is actually Jason Tatum and the improvements of Jaylen Brown. Like, that's on top of my list. Then Gordon Hayward is like a distant 47th. It doesn't factor in a whole lot. It's the young guys that I look forward to. The established core, like, I know how Gordon Hayward plays. I'm not sure. It's not that exciting to me for some reason.
Do you think the young guys are going to get enough burn to...
That's also a reason why I had them low, because I don't think they are. I could imagine that if Tatum enters the league and he starts rebounding well, not that I expect that to happen, but if he does, then that would justify playing him more at the four.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Hopefully they carve out a role for him that makes him a contributor as well as Jaylen Brown. Then I'll raise them up at least 5 or 6 spots if that happens. But as of right now, no. And also the loss of Avery Bradley. That bucks the hell out of me, because I think Bradley is extremely entertaining. I love defense, and I love those guys who just gets in your face and hits threes in your face on the other end. Bradley is that guy. He's that glue guy, and I'm looking at that team right now just going, who's going to be that guy? Marcus Smart? I'm not feeling that vibe at all.
Yeah. I mean, that he's the most logical guy to fill Bradley's void. Or the untradeable Terry Rozier. Who knows?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Sarah, why are you excited about the Celtics this year?
It's really just the addition of Hayward, and I wanted to see how it comes together with Isaiah and the whole team. That's kind of a spot that they've been missing that extra scoring punch from. So it has the potential to put them up even a notch higher, and they already were in the conference finals last year. So I'm hoping they can take that next step to become like a truly elite team.
Yeah, I'm most excited to see if they can actually put a scare into Cleveland this year, and to see. I mean, you know, we've seen Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward work before together, like 7 years ago, but. So I don't think there's going to be as much of a feeling out period as there is for a normal new coach star pairing, because, you know, Brad Stevens knows what Gordon Hayward does and doesn't do well. And yeah, sure, he's like, he's developed a lot since in college.
Right.
So they're gonna have to like feel each other out a little bit, but I just think it's gonna be a pretty seamless transition there. Contract year, Isaiah Thomas. That's always gonna be fun. Max contract pushing Isaiah Thomas is gonna be fun. More, I don't think the young guys are gonna get enough run to, like, I'd be even more interested if I thought Brown and Tatum were gonna play more. But I think Crowder is gonna have to play a lot, just because if they're really trying to be a conference finalist. That said, they limited their big guys' minutes more than you would have expected last year. So like, maybe each of those guys does get 20 or 15, 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, but that's not enough for me to bump it up. It's
right.
Just, yeah. I'm not sure what it is. I mean, I'm looking over the numbers. I'm looking over the roster right now. And I get why people would go, wow, that's low. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of surprising myself a little bit. But just having watched so much Boston last year, it might have been a little bit of fatigue as well.
Yeah.
I don't find them entertaining at all.
That's
I also have a true problem with Al Horford, like a 6'10 mobile big who can't rebound. That's just that's not something I enjoy, Brian. Not a lot.
Yeah. Well,
that's something I enjoy.
The next team on our list has a far better rebounder, the Utah Jazz. So they're actually a three-way tie for ninth place between the Jazz, the Kings, and the Wizards. But let's start with the Jazz, because that's where we saw the most separation. So, Sarah, you and I were pretty close. You own 15th, I own 16th. Morton, on the other hand, has them third overall.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What's up, Mort?
All right. You know I absolutely love Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell.
Oh,
Donovan
Mitchell. I was actually about to say something. I knew you guys were going to target him. No.
Rudy?
I was going to say there's more to it than just Donovan Mitchell. I want to see what Rudy Gobert can do as the number one guy on a team.
Yeah.
Because he's an improving scorer. I would not be surprised at all if he ended up next season averaging 17 points a game. And his a ridiculous amount of rebounds, a ridiculous amount of blocks, great defense, and just being that emotional leader on the court as well. I'm looking forward to the evolution of Rudy Gobert cementing his position as the number one center in the goddamn league.
Mm.
That's what I'm looking forward to. And then, of course, Donovan Mitchell, because that goes without saying. He's my rookie of the year pick. So, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you're right about Gobert, because I have him in a fantasy basketball keeper league, and I have no intention of giving him up, so I'd love to see him.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I probably should be a little more excited to see this team, but they played at, if I'm not mistaken, they played at the league's slowest pace last year. They had a top three defense. Losing your top scorer, I just kind of feel like they're going to be in a lot of these like 90 to 85 slogs.
Oh, I love that. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, if I'm actively like, going back to my overall thinking with this League Pass stuff, it's like, if I'm actively going to choose one game on like a 12 game slate, I want to just see, like, I want to see a bunch of young, fun players, or I want to see just some like high scoring, like, just conscienceless basketball. Like, yeah, defense is fun, I'm going to enjoy it in the playoffs, but like, I'm not going to actively seek it out if there's, you know, the Houston Rockets, who, spoiler alert, are much higher on the list for all three of us. Like, I want to see a game that's going to go into the 130s rather than a game that's going to be 90 to 85. So that's why I had the Jazz where I did. But Ricky Rubio will be fun there, at least. I'm excited to see how he does.
And I'm not even, like, the biggest Rubio fan that you'll find. I mean, I've been pretty harsh on him.
Yeah.
In years past, but even so, I definitely see the connection here. He's a strong defender, he's a sublime playmaker, so I just think this team is going to surprise the heck out of everybody. I don't want to get in on the ground floor, that's why.
I mean, Rodney Hood, the breakout could happen. If Alec Burks stays healthy, like, he's a good player, he just can't stay healthy. Same with Derek Favors, so there's a lot of talent on this team. Like, for a team that lost a superstar, they and the Clippers both did really well to replace those holes. but there's still, I just think there's going to be a little bit of a hangover from, like, you know, you just don't replace a Gordon Hayward overnight. The other somewhat controversial team tied in the top nine for us, Sacramento Kings. I was highest on them at 8th overall. Mort, you had them 10th. Sarah, you have them 16th. Sarah, I'm going to guess this goes back to your bad teams don't care.
Yeah, and they were another one that when I made my first draft, like, I was surprised at where you guys had them. And I kind of completely forgot about Vince Carter and George Hill and Zemo. So, like, those three I'm in on. But yeah, I mean, other than that, not a lot of excitement.
That's, and we technically don't even know if Zebo's going to be on the team after he was arrested for marijuana possession with the intent to sell. So that's a big question mark hanging over the Kings. Let's not include Zebo in the analysis for why you're excited about this team, because who knows if that's going to happen. But what else is getting you pumped for the Kings?
Well, I think this is a shock ranking for me because Vivek Ranadive and Vlade Divac did not just F up the whole summer. Just the fact alone deserves some recognition, and that's why I'm giving them a high league pass ranking, because Sacramento did well.
Yeah. In the draft and free agency.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they actually made logical decisions.
Yep.
Yeah, it's almost like they went on Twitter, they looked at what people said, and they were like, huh, that actually makes sense.
Right.
We should do that. We should do those things.
They did well. And I mean, like, I'm more excited for their young guys. Like, I'm really pumped to see De'Aaron Fox. I want to see Buddy Hield his first full year there, because he played pretty well after coming over at the trade deadline. Willie Cauley-Stein and Scal both played well after the All-Star break. Like, they have an interesting mix of young talent and veterans, and I'm going to hope they realize that they're not making the playoffs. So, like, I want them to lean more heavily into the young guys and the vets. Like, if George Hill is playing 35 minutes a night and Vince Carter is playing 30 minutes a night, they're doing it wrong, and my interest in them will drop significantly. But I'm guessing that they are going to more or less lean into Fox, Hield, Cauley-Stein, Scal, Harry Giles. Like, if he stays healthy, I mean, that dude was like a top five prospect in his year.
You're forgetting someone really big here. And I'm actually thinking that when I say this name, you're going to go, oh, I should have the Kings hire Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do on an NBA level.
Me
Absolutely.
Too. Me too. Yeah. The Kings,
we'll see.
They could be frisky.
I think
they're still going to be 25-30 win team, but they're not going to be getting blown out by 30 a night. Like, they're gonna
they're gonna prove Chuck over here a little bit wrong.
Yeah. All right.
I can't answer to that. I encourage it.
The Wizards, we had as the other team tied with Sacramento and Utah. We had them pretty much all almost exact. Mort and I were 12th. Sarah was 10th. So no need to discuss there. All right, guys, I'm just going to defend it, and then you guys can rip me apart. But Spurs were next on the list. We had them 8th overall. Mort, you had them 4th. Sarah, you had them 5th. I had them 22nd. So here's my thinking with the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi is incredible. I'm excited to see him play at an MVP-caliber level. I think he... Frankly, like, I almost want to put money on him winning MVP this year, because, as we've discussed, the rest of the team is just so unimpressive. And, you know, he was deserving last year. He just ran into Russell Westbrook and James Harden, both of whom are now going to be playing next to fellow stars, so I expect their numbers to drop a little bit. So, like, I'm expecting a career-best year from Kawhi, another top three MVP finish, another top three DPOY finish. Like, my interest in the Spurs has nothing, or my lack of interest in the Spurs has nothing to do with Kawhi. It is the teammates surrounding Kawhi. So Tony Parker, not back until January. LaMarcus Aldridge has been shopped all summer, reportedly very unhappy to be there. He just doesn't do it for me. I'm just not super intrigued by him. Pau Gasol. I can't get excited about anyone else on this team aside from Kawhi. Like, Rudy Gay, a little bit, because he was playing well in Sacramento before he tore the Achilles, but, like, it's hard to come back from that injury, especially when you're on the wrong side of 30. So, like, if not for Kawhi, frankly, I would have this team a lot lower. Like, they're a great team. More, you know, we said toward the top of the show, this is not indicative of where I think they're going to finish. Like, if this is just our actual power rankings, they'd be in my top five. But, like, I'm just not going to seek the Spurs out because I feel like I know pretty much everything I need to know about this team already outside of Rudy Gay. And, again, it's kind of like Utah. Like, I just think they're going to be defensively minded. They're not going to be that offensively exciting. They're going to play great basketball. It's not, not saying they're not going to be one of the most fundamentally sound teams in the NBA, but it just doesn't do it for me in the regular season. But Sarah, let me have it.
No, I mean, honestly, I think Morton and I probably have them a little high as a team. But we kind of had to balance you out. Yeah, I think actually my first draft I had them 8th.
Okay.
So it's funny that that's kind of where they ended up. And then when I redid it, I just thought, honestly, the chance to watch Kawhi every night is worth a top 5 slot on its own. And that's really what it came down to. I am a little bit interested in seeing how Rudy Gay looks. DeJounte, how he's going to acclimate in his second year. There's the potential there for some fun moments, because he's got that speed, kind of like very, very young, unpolished TP. He sometimes makes passes that, you know, that he could be reminiscent of, like I said, Tony a long time ago and Manu, like, yesterday. Manu always does that. So there's a little bit of that, but it really is mainly just Kawhi.
Yeah.
He's that good.
That's reasonable. I might have had them too low because Kawhi is very good. But I will say they do have the sixth most national TV games of any team. 24 in total. Mort, you have them even higher than the Spurs fan. What's going on? Was it just to balance me out?
That was part of it. No. DeJounte Murray, obviously, as well, because Pop is a player development genius, so I think he'll be a lot better in his second year. But also Bryn Forbes. He was in my consideration as well, because I think he could be that new era Gary Neal version that they had a couple years back, which I think is exciting because they needed that kind of production. And the big kicker for me is that now you have two players in Kawhi and Rudy Gay, both of whom are suited to play both the 3 and the 4. And the Spurs have not had a whole lot of opportunities to play Kawhi at the 4. Now you can actually have Rudy take on the 3 and then let Kawhi play a little bit of ball-handling 4-man, which I think is going to be very intriguing. Or you can switch it around, let Rudy just be the 4-man as well. So I think that offensive versatility that comes from those two being interchangeable is going to blow teams out of the water. I think it's going to be pretty, pretty great from them. And also the improvement of Davis Bertans. I know Sarah Bertans, I mean, that's your guy. And I agree, because there's a lot of potential there as a shooter. And so there is some youth there that I really like moving forward. And we were talking about, like, when a team rolls their roster back, it becomes a little bit boring. I can get behind that, but then you add in Derek White here and the internal improvements that's going to change the makeup of the team, and I think that counts.
That's fair. I admittedly might have them too low, but I'm just a sucker
just
for
a
watching.
Smidge.
I just like watching bad teams get slightly better rather than really good teams just stay really good. All right, so the final 7 teams on the list, none of them were all that divisive. We had each of them in all of our top 10s, so we will zoom through some of these. Lakers, we had 7th overall. Sarah, you have 6th. I am 7th. Morton, you have 9th. Is it just we all got the Lonzo Ball fever?
I am biased towards fun passing. So that's always going to rank high for me.
Yeah. Also, Brooke Lopez, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. We can see if Brandon Ingram, I mean, they refuse to include him in trade talk, so maybe he doesn't suck. We'll find out.
I just want to see Lou bounce back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look, it can't get any worse. So.
It sure can't, no. Yeah, we'll see how much he plays this year, but...
Yeah, it's probably not a lot.
I'm also excited a little bit to see Julius Randle and Jordan Clarkson, because they both have to know that if the Lakers can somehow finagle Paul George and LeBron, both of those guys are out of there. So, like, how do they play this year with that giant guillotine hanging over their heads?
The Julius Randle six-pack picture actually bumped it up a little bit for me. I've got to admit it. I've just got to admit it straight up. A single image just raised their League Pass ranking up a little bit. Because that was impressive. I mean, very impressive. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Julius can do, because I've not been that impressed so far.
No.
So if he comes back now and is just ready to go and becomes a beast, then I'm intrigued. Officially intrigued.
I've seen some footage, I think from Drew League this summer, or some one of the summer circuits, where he was like pushing the ball in transition and finishing. He looks impressive. So I there's hope for Julius Randle. OKC Thunder were sixth on our list. I had them highest at fourth, Mort seventh, Sarah eighth. I mean, it's Russell Westbrook and Paul George, right? Like, this
Paul George solely.
Oh, it's, come on.
No, what I mean is, that's the intrigue of why I have them that high, because like we said, rolling a team back is not that exciting. We know what Russ can do, and he's not going to average a triple-double again. I don't think so, at least not with Paul George there.
Right.
So it's the intrigue of seeing Paul George in OKC.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. And hey, maybe Steven Adams has a bounce-back year. We don't have to see Victor Oladipo plugged awkwardly next to Russell Westbrook, so that's exciting. Houston Rockets were fifth on our list. Mort, you are fifth. I am sixth. Sarah, seventh. Sarah, did it pain you as a Spurs fan to put the Rockets at high?
A little bit. I was actively trying not to, but I realized I couldn't. It's funny, though, because I don't really love Harden's style of play or Chris Paul's style of play that much alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think the potential for them together and some of the video that we've seen leaking out from summer workouts is like, okay, that could be fun.
Right. There's also the implosion potential where
you Bingo. Might just be, that's, you might want that's to
watch
me.
Them. Yeah. You just want to watch them on the chance that they just cannot be compatible?
No, I mean, I hope that they are compatible. Let me just say that right off the bat. But they were playing in some sort of what, I don't know if it was Drew League or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It was just a pickup game, and there was a video of Chris Paul just shouting at James. Like, that's a pickup game that means nothing. Now imagine the NBA playoffs, right? Yep. So there is that intrigue of, is it going to go well, or is it going to burn a fiery death?
Right.
And that in itself is must-see TV.
I would agree with that. Number four on our list, the Milwaukee Bucks. Sarah, they were your number one overall team. I had them five, more eighth. Is it Giannis? You're just that excited for Greek Freak?
It's Giannis, and I'm hoping that Thon will play more.
Yeah.
I like Tony Snell's length and defensivity. I liked seeing him, you know, gain back his confidence and become like a 3-and-D guy, so... Yeah, they're just super fun, and Giannis makes the whole thing go.
Yeah. Mort, as the co-founder of the Chris Middleton fan club, I'm upset that you have them so low, eighth on your list.
Because I know Chris Middleton, it's not new.
He's going to have a career year this year.
Yeah, that we can talk about. That might actually be a thing. And if that's the case, then I'm going to regret having them as eighth. I'll give them that. It's also a bit low. I'm looking it over. I probably could be convinced to switch him around with the Thunder. Yeah, you know what? Let's make a mental note of that.
Okay.
I'm kind of switch him around with the Thunder. I'm more interested in watching Milwaukee than I am OKC.
I still can't believe you're more interested in watching the Spurs than Milwaukee, but I'll let that one rest for now.
Oh, hey, you added to that one, buddy.
All right, Denver Nuggets were third on our list. Sarah, you had them at 2. I had them at 3. Mort, 6. Are we excited for Paul Millsap, or is it more Nikola Jokic, first full year as starter, about to take over the league?
Combination?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's both.
Yeah.
And then Gary Harris.
Yeah. Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. For me, the reason I have them at 6 is because they don't have that point guard yet.
Yeah.
I'm not really that looking forward to watching Emmanuel Mudiay, you know, getting up a lot of burn. I know, you know, point center Jokic, yada yada yada, but yeah, I want a well-rounded roster and a well-rounded mm-hmm. starting lineup, and Mudiay kind of fails at providing that. So
yeah.
If they trade for Kyrie, though, that's going to get bummed up significantly.
Yeah. If they trade for Kyrie, it would be hard to keep them off of the number one team. Because that really fits my, I want to see 130 points score tonight, because they will play no defense. And they really
will. Oh, no, none whatsoever. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Nothing is happening on the Kyrie trade talk front, but once we get closer to the season, hopefully we'll start seeing some movement there. I can't believe you guys, even after seeing what I did to the Spurs, you still both had the Sixers in your top 3. So, Mort, you and I had them 2nd overall, Sarah 3rd. They were number 2 team overall. Is it Embiid? Is it Simmons?
Nah.
Is it Fultz? Is it JJ? Is it Brett Brown having a real basketball team to coach for the first time in 5 years?
Part of it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to speak for Sarah. From my perspective, it's mostly Markelle Fultz and just a smidgen of Ben Simmons, because we haven't seen those guys play. Embiid, well, to some extent, because he only has 31 career games. I just need to rub that in for a minute.
That's fine.
Just a little bit, because you and I disagreed last week on the Karl Anthony Towns Joel Embiid thing.
Yep.
And you got your Twitter peeps to agree with you on the big social media platform, Brian. So, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and just remind people 31 games. No. Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz. Also, I want to see how Robert Covington adjusts to these new changes. I have a feeling that he could actually be pretty lethal. Just spotting up from the outside, playing a lot of defense. I mean, hell, I wouldn't even be surprised if he wrapped up the season with like 200 three-pointers and I got, you know, Lord knows how many deflections and steals and blocks. And I'm really going to look forward to seeing what he can do out there.
Yeah.
But it's just the whole package, really. Like, they finally have a team. After all those years of waiting, they have something, and that's intriguing.
Yeah.
But the big draw for me, obviously, Markelle Fultz. No Markelle Fultz, I would probably have them down 8th, 9th.
Wow.
Something, somewhere around that.
Damn. Even with Simmons.
Hey, look, Donovan Mitchell made use of, for me, the number 3, okay?
That's
so
true.
Just imagine what Markelle Fultz does.
That is true. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
So we have very different tastes and reasons, yeah.
Yeah. Sarah, why'd you have it so high?
But yeah, I mean, it's really the whole team. It isn't any one guy. It's the fact that I really like their top 7 or 8 guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good team. And then Ben Simmons, I told you that the incredible passers are always going to rank a little higher for me, so that's always fun.
Yeah.
So that's mainly it. I just think it's a solid roster. That's just potential to be a good team.
It's just so weird for them to have gone from like Henry Sims starting games from them 2 seasons ago to now having a roster of capable NBA players. I'm not used to it yet. But yeah, I mean, I'm also excited to see Rashawn Holmes, the guy that everyone keeps saying would be someone to steal from the Sixers, because I think he's going to play well enough this year where that talk goes away. And frankly, I mean, it would be a homer pick, but I'd put them number 1 if they got rid of Jahlil Okafor, but he he's still on the roster, so I couldn't have him number
Jesus.
One.
Jesus. It doesn't matter. Like, we could take a full podcast just to talk about food, and somehow, some way, Jahlil Okafor will make an appearance.
Just get him off the damn team. Let him go thrive somewhere else. He can play
He'll
well.
Still be in the league, so we'll still have to talk about him.
That's fine. I think he can play well somewhere else. Just not... He's not, like... Not in Philly. It's
all right.
Never gonna happen.
You know what? I'm gonna ask you a question. I haven't asked you this before. This is a new way of thinking because you do not want Rashawn Holmes off your team. You love Rashawn Holmes.
Yep.
Let me ask you this: if a team called him and said, "We will take Jahlil Okafor, but it's gonna cost you Rashawn Holmes,"
what would they be giving back? Or would it just be for like?
I'm not sure. But let's just it's me trying to weigh. Your love for Holmes versus your hatred for Jahlil Okafor. I'm just trying to gauge which one is greater.
They could always just waive Okafor. Like, I wouldn't just give Holmes away.
Just play along, Brian. Come on.
Like, Holmes is not untouchable by any means, but they would have to give up. Like, I would not consider that a trade for, like, both of those. It would be like they're trading for Rashawn Holmes and we're just throwing Okafor in for like a second round pick. Like I don't think he has enough value, standalone value, to necessitate anything of value coming back to the Sixers.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Still did not answer my question at all, but that's fair. I'm gonna take it.
All right. Last team on the list, Minnesota Timberwolves. Mort, you and I have number one. Sarah had the number four. Jimmy, Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. Are we excited about Jeff Teague?
Oh, yeah, Mort, you're not even excited about Wiggins.
Sarah shaking her head like,
so,
oh, God.
No one's excited about Jeff Teague, but Jimmy and Carl Anthony Towns, I think we could all agree.
And Tips, and Taj,
Tips.
Jamal
Crawford.
I honestly
no.
juggled my top four, like, multiple times, so... That could have gone anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, Sarah, the way you framed it in the beginning of this episode is spot on. Like, I came up with, like, my top seven or eight that I knew I wanted to watch the most and then kind of shuffled them around. And then, like, the bottom six or seven were pretty easy to find because it was just, like, which teams have intentionally started tanking or just have no chance of being relevant this year. And then, yeah, like, that middle tier, I mean, it is really tough. I think, frankly, I wanted to do this in part because I think, you know, if there are people out there who are trying to plot out their league pass teams for the year, hopefully this helps you a little bit if you're doing the package of five or package of ten or whatever it is. Minnesota, Philly, Denver, Milwaukee, Houston, OKC, Lakers, all of those are good picks. But it also just speaks to the quality of the league. Like, there are very few teams in this league right now that I have no interest in. Like, fewer than five. So,
yeah.
Just shout out to the NBA for amassing this much talent and constructing some semblance of a cohesive team that I actually want to watch, even if you're, like, the 24th and 25th best team in the league. It's really impressive. Like, I can't say that about the NFL. You couldn't pay me enough money to watch a Jacksonville Jaguars game, even if my entire fantasy football team is only filled with Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, so that will do it for this week's episode of the NBA podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoyed. Hope this helps you find out your league pass teams later this summer. Just a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA pod. In our bio, you can find all three of our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. We're also on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some reviews. We'd love any feedback. We're being hosted this year on FanRag Sports, so check them out at FanRag Sports on Twitter and for their NBA content at FanRag NBA. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined by Morten Jensen and Sarah Chalea. Have a good one, you two.
You too,
take care,
Brian.
Guys.
And Brian, just be careful because having played San Antonio as number 22, I just have a feeling that bad luck is going to follow you around for a week.
Yeah. Rest in peace to my Twitter mentions once Spurs fans get a hold of this podcast. All right. Later, guys.
Later.